views and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And today's a Wednesday. Today's a heavy day.
It's a big day today.
It's a good day. That's Joni Skillbread. Joni, why is it beautiful?
It's a beautiful day because our annual bet, and this is where it's pay up.
Yes, it is. Fairbanks, this is our fifth annual lunch that we have, and our bet, our annual bet now, is we have an over-under on the time frame that the ice goes out in Enana. And Joni chose the date with my help, May 8th, and then she let me take the over or the under. Now, we don't condone gambling, but we enjoy gambling. And if you're going to gamble, you got to take your winnings and your losses, and you got to put up when your losses happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no welching here in the
booth. There is no welching. And so I lost, and I chose the over on May 8th. And I looked at the records from 1971, how cold it was and how much snow. I said, okay, the ice went out on May 8th on that day. So that was my day. And what day did it go out on this time?
I went out a few days before.
Before we get into the food, cheers.
Cheers.
We have a very, very nice red wine that I personally brought back from the Central Coast of California, the Sextant Winery. This is from Paso Robles, California. This is one of their Cabernet Reserves. It's a top-shelf bottle of wine.
It's very tasty.
Mm-hmm.
Very tasty. Mm-hmm. So our bet, though, we have to, make this clear. So loser has to prepare a lunch and serve it to the winner online.
On air.
On the air. Yes, on the air.
So what you have in front of you.
It looks amazing.
The first is a handcrafted wedge salad. I mean, handcrafted with iceberg lettuce. And I put, about 10 to 8, 12 pieces of bacon in the oven and got it all well cooked. Then crumbled it up. I made a homemade blue cheese dressing. In the blue cheese dressing, I have mayonnaise. Usually I use a buttermilk, but I opened up the buttermilk and I just wasn't trusting the buttermilk, so I used heavy cream. And then
that works.
Yeah, then sour cream. Then in that I put in a combination of salt, pepper, garlic, granulated garlic, and onion powder. Then I get chives that I've grown myself, and I dice them up and got some somewhat fresh dill from the store. And then also I put on there some chopped red onion and nice tomato and built up a mound.
It is beautiful.
Now this is what's going to get me in trouble. The bad news and the good news. The bad news is the risotto. It's a fantastic mushroom risotto. What's bad about that is Emily loves risotto, and she would kill me now. The good news is I'm bringing some home for her.
I think that's a good plan.
It's a life-saving plan.
That's a good plan.
Life-saving plan.
Yes.
Then you have a handcrafted barbecue beef steak sandwich.
Oh,
now, I smoked, a very nice steak a ribeye, the tomahawk ribeye from Tommy G's. I smoked it, and then I seared it to finish it. And so we had about three of these things, so I had one left over. So I took that leftover steak and I thin sliced it, and I cooked it in au jus sauce, heated it up, and then I got some nice rolls, you know, from Poppin' mm-hmm. Fresh, put them in the oven, fresh baked rolls, and I have my homemade barbecue sauce on there. It's a nice sweet barbecue sauce, not overtly sweet. Then I got some lettuce, some nice smoked provolone cheese, and some sautéed onion, and that's it right there. We just had Glenner come in. I also invited upper management. We got to suck up to upper management, Glenner, yeah. And
and Perry. Perry but now, is Perry really going to be here?
He said he would.
Well, he's running. You know, we got this little radio auction thing going on, yeah. And he is like panicking,
cheers.
Running into it. Yeah,
cheers. This
I'm
is
fine.
A nice,
see,
nice
I'm fine
one.
With
that's
it.
That's okay. You're here.
Yeah, I let them worry about that. I've that's got all right. My clients in. I got some wonderful clients in the auction. It's going to be huge. It's going to be amazing. So I'm good. Let them work. Sweat this part out.
So I'm going to have the first bite of my sandwich.
All right, I'm going right for the salad.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying the risotto.
Well, look at us all hitting it from different angles.
Oh. Mm. Mm.
Do a dance. Not a table dance, just a dance.
Yeah, it's delicious.
It all is. Wait till you try
I'm
that.
I'm a happy winner.
Wait till you try that sandwich. But when you can, yeah.
Now, the risotto. I've had your risotto so many times. It's one of my favorite things you'd make.
Mm-hmm.
Always. You had me at risotto. What was the... I want to know more about the bet itself.
The one that I lost?
That's the most important part. I won.
Yeah. Go ahead, Dave. No, let me hear it. Go ahead.
The bet is our annual bet on the Nenana Ice Classic.
Right.
And what happens is Joni chooses a date.
Oh, I see. Okay.
This year. We take turns.
Right. I see. Okay.
And the time is noon, 12 noon, and you have an over-under. Are you choosing the over in the after 12 noon and on to the days following or before 12 noon and the days prior? So I chose the over, and it came in on the under, and therefore I lost.
I am so glad.
Loser. Has to make and serve the winner lunch on the air.
Oh, so I would have won out either way. So
this
really,
is the fifth one.
Oh, okay. So I didn't have a... Now, see, I always thought a better contest more locally for us is you pick the date and time some moron drives his car through the ice bridge.
That used to happen all the time. Back when my dad had pikes, yeah.
Yeah, and there was always... You'd always make the front page of the paper. Always.
2 years in a row, the same moron did it.
See, that takes a whole different level right there. This is fantastic, by the way.
Yeah. It's a handcrafted wedge salad, homemade blue cheese dressing.
Mm.
I really like making.
And it's so funny. I think this might be the only way I like blue cheese dressing is on a wedge salad. Yeah. I'm not a big fan otherwise. I've used it as a dip here and there for chicken or something, but... All in all, I'm not a big blue cheese guy, but when you put it in a wet salad, you've made it a little more complex, but it can be done so simply. But yet, you add to it, I see you have is this
you have both dill.
You've got some dill on there. I taste the dill
and chives.
And some chives and some tomatoes on there. And is there onions as well on top?
Red onion in there. Mm-hmm. It's in the heart of the salad on top, and
it's amazing.
Yeah. So
it is really tasty.
See, and it's so wrong of us to do this. I feel so. I mean, we're sitting there. There's people at
torture
work.
Fairbanks?
Going, oh man, this is
wrong.
Wonderful.
It's wrong torturing Fairbanks.
The rest of you are missing out. It sucks to be you.
Now,
look at us. We're just horrible, high and mighty on our radio horse here.
Al, here's the deal. Al, you know I'm talking to you. Here's the deal. Next time I make risotto, I'm reserving a portion for you because you always make me the best kimchi in the world. So,
I will agree with that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So there's a little something in there.
Feeling a little bit guilty here, but not too guilty.
No, you don't want to go too
guilty. So guilty, we're going to take a commercial break. And when we come back, We're going to talk about Joni's subject, which is Creamer's Field, and we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
If you want to show off that summer smile, it all starts with a visit to Affordable Dental Care. And like the name says, yep, it's affordable. And nowadays, few things are more important than saving money. Affordable Dental Care does both. In a warm, friendly atmosphere, it's the perfect dental clinic for the entire family. From cleanings to crowns, they got you covered. That's Affordable Dental Care. See all of their services online at adcak.com. Affordable Dental Care, just off 14th Avenue right downtown.
It's a good time for a break, and a good time to discover the wild beauty of McLaren River Lodge. Nestled along the scenic Denali Highway, McLaren River Lodge is your base camp for adventure, fishing, hiking, wildlife viewing, or just relaxing by the river. Unplug, unwind, and breathe in that fresh Alaskan air. McLaren River Lodge offers cozy cabins, hearty meals, and views you won't forget. Make your getaway one to remember at McLaren River Lodge. Book online at McLarenRiverLodge.com.
Across Alaska's rivers, runways, trap lines, and trails, there are stories that deserve to be heard. Those stories live on Alaska Tracks. Hosted by wildlife biologist and lifelong outdoorsman Randy Zarnke, Alaska Tracks takes you inside the lives of the people who know this land best. Elders, hunters, bush pilots, and trappers who carry Alaska's traditions forward. Built on an oral history project by the Alaska Trappers Association, each episode blends conversation, storytelling, and firsthand experience, connecting generations, bush and city, past and present. This isn't just a show. It's a living archive and a reminder of what it means to live in the last frontier. Alaska Tracks is proudly presented by KFAR Radio and sponsored by Rod's Saw Shop, Ginger Orem with Crown Real Estate, Interior Welding Extreme North Trailers, and Frontier Outfitters. Alaska Tracks, Saturday at 1:30 p.m., only on KFAR Radio. Stories of the North, told by the people who live them.
KFAR Weather.
Bright sunshine expected today with daytime highs approaching 72. West winds around 5 miles per hour. Clear skies tonight, 44. Mainly clear skies tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 71. Upper 60s Friday, mid 60s Saturday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Pruse in the studio here with Glenn Anderson and Joni Skillbred. And I'm paying off a bet that they're very happy about. And then we're going to talk about Creamer's Field and the Creamer family.
Yes.
Joni, go. You're bringing us through this.
All right. Well, so Creamer's Field is a pretty popular spot in Fairbanks.
My favorite.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It started out, you know, as a dairy farm, which most people know that. So in 1903, there was three dairy cows arrived in Fairbanks from Nome. They came in on a riverboat, and this was Mr. Hinckley, and he set up Hinckley's Dairy, and he set it up in downtown Fairbanks on 3rd Avenue.
Okay.
But, you know, I mean, it didn't take very long that that wasn't going to be really practical.
That would explain the smell.
Yeah. Well, today it's been replaced with another smell over there on Garden Island. But anyway, so they had to, you know, he moved out of town, and this was a ways out of town. Creamer's Dairy, you know, off of College Road, that mm-hmm. was quite a ways out of Fairbanks. But the dairy served a very, very important need in town.
Milkshakes.
Milk, period.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Milk, period. So the Creamers got involved in this when Charlie Creamer, at the age of 15, arrived in Fairbanks in around 1903, mm-hmm. really early on, and he got hired by Mr. Hinckley, and, you know, he was working on and off at the dairy. He would find a better opportunity and go take it up, and then, you know, Fairbanks has always been a town of not steady, you know. This job is here, this job ends, you go get another job. This job is here, that job ends, you go get another job. But in between these other higher paying jobs, Charlie would go work at the dairy. And so he did this on and off until World War One. By the birds coming to the dairy started 1908 to 1910. Charlie, one of his jobs was to spread the manure on the grain fields, you know, to fertilize them for the next year. And the birds, this attracts them. And the leftover seeds that spill out from the grain and all of that. So, anyway, so after the war, Charlie went off to World War One like most men, and he came back in 1920, and he married a local grocer by the name of Rosanna Goldman, and she was Hinckley's sister-in-law, and they had one son, and that was Don Creamer. So there's a lot of Fairbanksons around today, old-time Fairbanksons, that are going to remember Don Creamer and his subsequent family. I don't think there's anybody probably left living that remembers Charlie.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. So Charlie and Roseanne, you know, they settled over there. And initially in 1908, I don't think that there was homesteading when... you know, back quite then, but they just were on the land. And the homesteading stuff came around, it was around 1912 or so.
That's called squatting.
But there was a lot of property that was being used by the squatting method.
Yeah, it needed to.
I believe it was 1912 when they started homesteading, but it didn't become an issue for somebody like the Creamers.
Yeah.
Until a little bit later on. But then eventually, you know, they had to file for the land patent and all of that, so the legal stuff got involved. So the dairy farm was farmed, and in 1965, Mrs. Creamer died, and Charlie was, you know, not the same after that. He was getting older. The work was getting harder. Don was, you know, he had the farm. He had kids. If you're going to farm, you better have lots of kids because, you know, that's cheap labor.
Yeah. My dad told me about labor law. There are none when you work for your parents.
Yeah, I don't remember having OSHA come out when I was working at the gold mine.
Yeah, or
no.
Or the Division of Workforce Assistance.
No. So,
maybe OCS.
They hired people, too. They had a bunkhouse, and they would have hired hands and all of that. But, you know, it was a full-blown dairy farm, and every spring they would fertilize the fields, and Charlie started putting grain out because he noticed that the migratory birds were attracted to that, and he liked them being there.
Okay, yeah.
And so he started kind of this tradition of doing that, and as the birds started coming around— people took notice, and they are also starting to come around. And at the same time that all of this was going on, after World War One, you know, cars, we finished building the Alaska Railroad so we could get freight in. Don't you hog all that. So we could get freight in. And
that was her order to me as pouring the last of the wine. Yeah, she's not afraid to speak her mind when it comes to good wine.
So anyway,
back to your presentation.
The railroad had been built, and now we could get cars and other things here. And people started having nationwide more leisure time. Technology and the Industrial Revolution was making it so that we could have more leisure time, and it was also making it so that we could be more mobile. We could go further cheaply. Mm-hmm. Going sightseeing or Sunday driving did not really exist very much prior to World War I. You know, it really, the world really changed.
No, yeah, sightseeing was on a horse.
Yes. And the way that sightseeing pulls into this is that was out of town. And if you had a car, you could drive out there. Well, the birds are there every spring. So, you know, what are we going to do today? Oh, let's go out and see the birds at Creamer's Field. And it became, slowly, it became quite a thing in Fairbanks for people to go and see this. And every spring, faithfully, Charlie went out, even when he was quite elderly, and he spread the grain and fertilized the fields to entice the birds to come back in. And now you have, so it's a 300-acre property.
It's larger than that.
And you can drive to where it is.
Yeah, the eastern two 300 acres are in the city limits of Fairbanks. Mm-hmm. And then you have the back portion and the western portion that's in the borough. So you have a portion of a wildlife bird refuge in the city limits of Fairbanks.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So, and eventually, you know, the farm got handed to Don, the son. And Don had a couple of kids that are still with us. Jeannie Creamer is a friend of mine, and she's one of the friends of the SS Nenana here in Fairbanks, a lovely woman. Her brother Chuck lives in Delta Junction, and he's still around. And Chuck is, as far as Pioneers of Alaska go, he's one of my favorites. He is an amazing man and just one of the biggest hearts. He's done an awful lot for the people in Delta and is very proud of being a part of Fairbanks' history. I mean, they supplied most of the milk that people consumed.
Yeah.
So, so we can stop with that and then pick up after World War II.
We got two more minutes.
Oh. So everything
we'll stop with that. So what was your favorite, the risotto, the sandwich, or the wedge salad?
Oh, that's a tough call.
Mine was the sandwich because I'd never, you know, that was probably one of the best sandwiches I've ever made.
It is amazing.
Yeah, you know, with all the combinations of how I cooked the steak, then I put it, you know, au jus sauce, then the homemade poppin' fresh bun, and, you know, the sautéed onion and everything.
I know. I wish I could win every day.
You mean, what, are you trying to make me a permanent loser?
No.
Okay.
No. That's it. That's meant to be a very good compliment.
I know. I just reversed it.
Yes. You know, I have to say, Dave, I don't think Dave ever would turn out a bad tasting meal, ever.
That's what you have DoorDash for. In case I do, pizza's 30 minutes out.
I bet that's a rare occurrence.
Well, it's my philosophy. Therefore, you know, I'm not bashful. I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm uninhibited when it comes to cooking and trying stuff. I have no boundaries because all this. Let's go to Bobby's. Screwed it up.
That's always a good plan.
Fairbanks, mm-hmm. We're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. I have Joni Skillbred in here. It's not the third Wednesday of the month, or the last Wednesday. It's the first Wednesday. And due to all of our political activity last week and the first part of this week, she graciously rescheduled for today. And we'll be back after these messages.
coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM,
and streaming live. Fox News. I'm John Saucier. The protests continue outside an ICE facility in New Jersey, where detainees allegedly are facing poor conditions. Speaking during a hearing before the House Homeland Security Committee today, DHS Secretary Mark Wayne Mullen says he doesn't believe these protesters are peaceful.
I've had officers bit, hit, scratched. We had one get threatened that they were going to kill him and his family. That's peaceful.
New Jersey's Governor Mikey Sherrill claimed out-of-state groups are inflaming the tensions. House Homeland Security Committee ranking member Representative Benny Thompson criticizing Mullen's handling of the department and the protests.
Rather than addressing these problems and forcing the contractor that runs the facility to do its job, DHS responded by attacking protesters and defending inhumane conditions.
Local officials say a curfew in the area surrounding the ICE facility will continue until further notice. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Anchorage Daily News reports top staffers in Anchorage's city leadership team are shuffling around, with municipal manager Becky Wint Pearson leaving her role to head legal affairs for Glenfarne Group. That's the company currently leading efforts to develop the Alaska LNG mega project. According to a Tuesday morning statement from Mayor Suzanne LaFrance's office announcing the departure, Wint Pearson will be in charge of corporate and legal affairs for Alaska LNG. Wint Pearson said she'd had no plans to leave her role at the city, but was approached this spring by Glenfarne and saw an opportunity to advance a project she believes will benefit the municipality and Alaska. She sees the gas line as potentially boosting the state's lagging economy and helping the municipality deal with its looming energy crisis. Taking over as municipal manager will be Bill Falsey, who last served in that role from 2017 to 2020. Wint Pearson will leave City Hall later this summer.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
With summertime comes those epic family adventures. Last thing you need are car troubles leaving you on the side of the highway, so make sure everything is running smoothly. Just swing your car or truck by Pearson Auto. From your AC to your radiator, to your fluid levels, belts, and battery, crew at Pearson's will make sure your next summer adventure doesn't come with any surprises. Well, almost no surprises. That's Pearson Auto off the Rich Highway and on Airport across from Pikes. Pearson Automotive, your dealership alternative.
So what sets Fairbanks Urology apart? For one, on-site labs with same-day results available for most tests. Are you concerned about your appointment day and time? Want to be seen sooner due to worsening symptoms? Well, just ask. Their dedicated triage team will be sure to coordinate care at a time that best supports you. Fairbanks Urology is dedicated to preventative screening, evaluation, and education. Taking care of yourself starts with just one appointment. Fairbanks Urology, corner of Cushman and Gaffney. Online at fairbanksurology.com.
Hey, John, why so glum?
I just got let go. The company's downsizing. This is the third time in the last 2 years. I'm done with this.
Have you thought about My Computer Career? I've heard they can train you for a career in IT in just a few months, including cybersecurity and the basics of AI, and you don't need prior training or experience. Now that's a recession-resistant career.
Wow, thanks. I'll check them out.
Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation. Mycomputercareer.edu, an elite CompTIA certification partner.
Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including VA benefits.
At Audion Hearing, our mission is simple: to make better hearing affordable for everyone. We're proud to offer high-quality, rechargeable hearing aids starting at just $98. Clear, comfortable, and ready to use right out of the box. And here's a study worth hearing. Research shows that wearing hearing aids can reduce your risk of dementia by up to 61%. Join over 1 million happy customers and hear the difference today by going to audionhearing.com. That's AudienHearing.com.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Joni Skilbred and Ashley Wally in the studio with me now. I basically said, Perry, you're kicked off the island because you're working. So I gave it all to Ashley, and she's in here enjoying it. And Ashley, what do you think? Go ahead and put a microphone up to you there. And what do you think?
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. You know, I have an update to give everyone. Oh, the North Korean equipment broke on Ashley. Oh, oh, go figure that one out, Fairbanks. Glenner to the rescue.
Or not.
Oh, What do you think, Glenner?
Well, it's interesting because it's come out of its
holder there.
There we go.
Okay.
She fixed it.
Ashley, what's your thoughts on this meal?
I could drink this dressing.
That is a handcrafted homemade blue cheese.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, it and what I did, you know, I don't invent this stuff too often. And on the blue cheese, others YouTube, you know, different recipes, and I'm not reading it. I'm have some guy showing it. And this one guy, it made total sense on a wedge salad. So, hey, I just incorporated, you know, did a few different changes, like I always do. And all of a sudden, I like blue cheese dressing. What the heck?
Well, I've noticed that everybody, anybody that likes to cook, likes to find a recipe, but they will always find a way to tweak it and make it their own.
That's right.
We will never use someone else exactly.
Yeah.
I stole Raina, you know, those amazing carrots she makes over there at Bobby's.
Yeah.
I've got it down, but what I've done to add a little something is I added a little cayenne pepper to add a little heat to the sweet. And so, much like you, how did you change the blue cheese dressing to make it your own?
Yeah. How did I do it?
Yeah. What did you add or subtract or do differently?
I use real garlic. They use granulated garlic. I use real crushed garlic in it. And then what I do, I stick the blue cheese in the freezer because it cuts easier. You know, blue cheese melts and it's, you know, like, you know. So I put it in the freezer for a half hour. And that's how I slice it up. And there's a couple other tweaks there I'm not going to give out over there.
So, wait a minute.
We got a controversy here.
You said before we went on the air that you were going to do this with buttermilk.
And I used cream, heavy cream.
But he didn't have buttermilk,
I had buttermilk.
You didn't like it.
I didn't trust it.
Yeah.
So no one was going to be going home sick after
being cruising. Was it sitting in the back of the fridge for a bit? Did it have one of those questionable expiration dates?
No, I think what it was opened before, when I bought it at the store, it was opened a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I don't trust that.
And so I just poured
it
out
and,
you know, this used heavy cream.
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So I didn't want to give that one out, Joni.
Man, she just threw you right under the old blue cheese.
You know, but you won the bet.
Your usual way to make this, though, would be with buttermilk.
Yeah.
Now, so you changed it.
Yes.
And you changed it, and Ashley said she would drink it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go.
Now, I was informed of an item. Emily texted me, and she said that since she's known me, we've never had to order DoorDash because no failures of food. So,
yay.
But there's always a first time.
Does Emily cook?
That was a big pause right there. Yeah, well, it's uncomfortable, Emily.
She cooks, but she allows me to own the kitchen because when I cook, no one can touch anything. No one can touch anything.
It's kind of a pain in the butt. I've been there.
Yeah, and it took her about a year to get used to that.
So
basically, thanks for calling me out again, Ashley.
God, you're ruthless. Calling him out.
God almighty.
These ladies are just ruthless here.
I know it. Well, that's what I call her, ruthless.
I have to know, truth be told, do you dirty every dish in the kitchen?
I clean as I go.
I do too.
Yeah, I got to clean as I go because I'm in a dirty.
You should teach Perry how to do that.
Yeah, when I go home right now, there's probably five dishes I have to clean, and that's it.
Oh, that's not so bad.
And all the counters are wiped down, and I'm continuously cleaning as I cook, and I'm wiping down counters everything.
That's another thing I think people who cook are OCD about a messy sink. I can't go to bed with dishes in a sink. I've got to have that area, otherwise it'll eat at my soul as I sleep.
Well, I used to be able to go to sleep with dishes in the sink. And I would do the dishes when coffee is being made the next morning. Not anymore with Emily. Those dishes get done before we go to sleep. Simple as that.
There's nothing worse than waking up and looking at a dirty sink.
Well, and that's the way. If you both cook, you have to have the rule, like if I cook She does the cleaning. If she cooks, I do the... No, actually, that's not true. If I cook, I do the cleaning. If she cooks, I do the cleaning.
if I cook, she will do the majority of the cleaning, and I just get out of her way, and I'm having beverages. You know, I'm done. I've either nailed it or... You know, bringing people to the hospital, you know.
Heimlich here and there, yeah. Whatever it takes.
But Emily takes over, you know, after I serve the food. I'm checked out.
I am happy to be the dish doer. I'm not even allowed to cook in the kitchen.
Really?
Wow.
It's not bad.
Harry
you mess
does
it up enough, and
Harry
you're not
does all the cooking.
See, I
Harry
do that
does
with
all the cooking.
I do that with laundry. Yeah. Just shrink one good sweater. You don't have to do laundry again.
Yeah, it's not a bad situation.
Yeah,
screw it up enough, you're not expected to do it.
Yeah, and so you know, I don't worry about it, and I really don't worry about screwing up something because I learned as a barbecue competitor, you're going to screw something up, but you have to. Adjust, correct, and make it better.
They don't know what they didn't get.
And yeah, right. Yeah. And so, mm-hmm. You know, that's all of a sudden, you know, I'm making this and I pour, you know, I have the milk and I can just smell it go, no. So I got to throw all that out. Luckily, I had more mayonnaise, I had more sour cream, and I had heavy cream
mm-hmm.
in the refrigerator. So bam, you know, just, you know.
It was a good pick.
Yeah. All right. What do you think of the wine? It's a very nice Cabernet Reserve from Sextant. The Sextant Winery in Paso Robles that I went to, that Emily and I went to, and I pulled it out and transported it back on Alaska Airlines. You can bring two cases back as a 49er Club member.
So it is delicious.
Yeah, so
yeah,
we did
it's
that.
Very nice.
Yeah, you know.
Usually not a cab guy.
If I'm gonna lose a bet and I'm going to make lunch, it's going to be lunch. And Joni set the standard. She lost the first time.
I did.
And she came in, and she made me the first dinner that was when Fairbanks got incorporated
banquet.
As a city fair at a banquet. She made me that dinner that mm-hmm. was cooked by
wow.
the Japanese.
Jijiro Wada.
Yeah, who is also the marathoner, the runner.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what was this first meal? Dare I ask?
Well, Judge Wickersham hosted it. And
you're talking about the very first. What was it? Let me guess. Eels?
He recorded it in his diary. He talked about all the dishes and everything it was. And the menu was made on birch bark because they didn't have paper. It was in 1903, and it was in a tent. Right by the Chena River, roughly October. No,
November.
It was in April.
Oh, it was in April.
Okay,
and it was roughly where the Key Bank parking lot is today. Is where it was held.
Okay,
and they did it, and Judge Jijiro Wada was the cook, and it was a full on banquet. Now, so it had it started off with a soup, and it was a consommé. And it was a consommé a tortilla. And I'm like, well, what the heck is a tortilla? So I had to do a lot of research.
Watch how you spell that if you Google it.
Came up.
You said what we're all thinking.
I know. I usually do that.
Well, it came up actually goose eggs. So I finally made a clear broth with chopped scrambled egg in it and a little bit of parsley because I had to think. 1903 April Fairbanks. They've been landlocked. They haven't. You know, you can't go anywhere.
What was
so
that
they're
like,
at the
Bruce?
End of their supplies.
It was good.
It was really good.
She made me eat this like can.
Oh, no, I meant 1903.
Yeah.
What was
stab.
That like?
Yeah. That was an ageism stab.
And then
from the young girl.
She kept on, you know, she brought in whiskey because they had a lot of toasts.
Oh, they did. There was like
so
three
she
or
got
four
a,
kinds
so
of booze.
So on the air, Joni got a little hammered.
I remember right before the show started, and I had the Yukon Jack because I had to make this
Chena
cocktail.
We're having.
And Dave says in his very quiet voice, oh, you brought Yukon Jack, and there was a stampede from down the hall.
Everyone's
like a deer hearing a twig snap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, pop one of those bottles.
For a Cabernet Reserve, no. But for Yukon Jack, I like this group.
Oh yeah, yeah. Any kind of whiskey or tequila gets all the boys in the yard. But now back to the meal. I'm kind of curious. What was the main protein of the meal? Was it moose, caribou?
Yes, I went and bummed some
rabbit.
Moose off of a friend.
I'm
of mine.
I'm surprised they didn't have a rabbit stew.
No, it was moose.
Okay, so they had moose.
And I had to make Yuma ice cream, which was ice cream made with evaporated milk. And that actually was really good.
So, you know, she set the standard of what we're going to do.
All right.
And you just don't lesser than, you never lessen a standard. Ever.
There we go.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Give it to me straight, Doc. I can handle it. Are you going to have to remove the whole thing?
Actually, I'll have your broken window fixed in no time. At Glass Doctor, we can handle it all, even custom glass.
Oh, thanks, Doc. You're a real lifesaver.
The doctor is in. Glass Doctor is on call for fast, full-service residential glass repair, replacement, and installation. Visit glassdoctor.com to make an appointment.
Call the Glass Doctor. We fix your panes. Oh, yeah.
A neighborly company.
KFAR Radio is proud to bring you 50-50 Friday. Every Friday at 9 a.m., log on to our website for a half-price offer from a local business. Great deals on restaurants, stores, shops, services, sporting events, and more. It's 50-50 Friday. This week's offer?
Fairbanks Youth Football and Cheers gearing up for another exciting season, and registration for 2026 is officially open. If you have a child between the ages of 4 and 14, now's the time to sign up and secure their spot on the team of their choice. Registering early guarantees their place at the Rooks, Juniors, or Senior level of tackle. And now you can get your $400 registration fee for either Youth Football or Cheer for half price. That's right, just $200. As Fairbanks Youth Football and Cheer is this week's 50-50 Friday offer.
So log on to KFARradio.com this Friday morning starting at 9 a.m. for this awesome half-price offer. But hurry, as this deal will go fast. It's 50-50 Friday from KFAR.
When it comes to great barbecue, cold drinks, and a place where everybody feels like a regular, head to Big Daddy's. From slow-cooked brisket and ribs to mouth-watering chicken and wings, to ice-cold beer and good times with friends, Big Daddy's is your go-to spot for lunch, dinner, or a night out. Big flavors, friendly faces. It's the kind of place that keeps you coming back. Grab your crew and stop by Big Daddy's today. Big Daddy's, 2nd Wickersham, the northernmost southern barbecue.
Weather brought to you by Frontier Outfitters, your store for the outdoors. Your next adventure begins at Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle. It's Frontier Outfitters.
KFAR Weather.
Ample sunshine expected today with daytime highs approaching 72. Winds out of the west around 5 miles an hour. Clear skies again tonight. Lows dip down to about 44. Lots of sunshine tomorrow. Highs around 71. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. And Glenner brought something up over the break, but I was going to bring it up anyway. We have Ashley Wally here, and she's what's the term? Volunteering or
voluntold?
Voluntold or victim-tearing on the online auction that happens starting this Saturday?
No, it's Friday morning. It'll be live. Dukes will be on air live starting at 8 to 10 a.m. talking about the items QVC style.
Okay.
And then everything is on the website, alaskaradioauction.com. Thousands of dollars of items, hundreds of local businesses, and it's all stuff you're going to want this summer anyway, and you're going to get it at a fraction of the price. It's awesome.
And you're voluntolding here, Ashley?
Yeah. Yes. Every single time.
How I spent my summer vacation.
But you know,
my first week I was here at the radio station.
Yep.
But if there's one thing good that came out of COVID, we learned how to do this thing more hands off.
Seeing people.
Remotely.
Without people.
Well, we used to be just inundated with people.
Give us your money,
They would all want to come up and go through. We had folders where they would circle through. We had a group of people with a phone bank. It was wild. But we'll talk about it Friday.
I remember all the phones. phones that were here.
Oh, it was nuts. And now it's so streamlined and done, you know, thanks to our amazing engineer, Chris Meadows, who just comes up all the time with a better way to, you know, to invent the wheel. And
we'll talk about the second half of Friday's show. The first half is Representative Will Stapp. Second half will be that. And
all right.
So bring us through more of the Creamer's history.
Well, after Charlie Creamer retired and Don was getting older and his kids, I don't think they wanted to continue with the dairy farming. You know, the pipeline was looming in the future. And so something had to be decided to be done. And in the 60s, the federal government had a program available that if you had a piece of land, private land, that you would be made public land for wildlife, then they would pay 70% and the state would pay the rest. And so the Audubon Society and the local bird watching club decided, oh, well, that would be an ideal parcel because we have birds coming to it. And, you know, Creamer's Field keeps the birds off of the airport also.
Very important job. And they acknowledge
very
that.
Very important.
Yeah.
Yes. And it wasn't it wasn't set up for that.
But
it's just a side benefit.
It works. Yeah.
Yeah. So Fairbanks, after the flood, did a big campaign, and they had to come up with a down payment. And Charlie Creamer had a competing offer, or not Charlie, Don, had a competing offer for the property. And so there was a little bit of pressure, and local kids, groups, everybody pitched in and had fundraisers all over town to raise money to pay for our local share of purchasing it. And we had to come up with, I don't remember how much it was. It was a fair amount of money, though. And the total asking price was over $300,000, which was a lot of money in the mid-60s. Granted, the federal government would kick in 70%, but still, 30% of that is still a lot of money. And this is pre-pipeline, so we didn't have a lot of extra money laying around. And so through the hard work of a lot of people in this town and a lot of kids, the money was raised and it was purchased. But the buildings where, you know, the barn and the farmhouse and all of that were not. They were purchased by a development company. And the other issue is that at this time that the farm went up for sale, Fairbanks was being, it had subdivision fever, and parcels were being subdivided all over town. Now, when it was purchased, it was 300 acres.
What year was that?
It was 1968.
Okay, right after the flood.
But there's a 1967 article here that says that ever since the farm went out of business, an informal committee supported by several groups has proposed pooling the 300 Creamer acres with 1,520 acres of state land and 1,200 acres of adjoining university land to create a permanent wildlife habitat and recreational park.
Okay.
So that's where the extra acreage came that you were mentioning came from.
Yeah.
Yes. Prior to the purchase, the park, the Creamer family allowed that land to be used, especially during the winter months, for various groups who used it for, it was used for dog mushing, parachuting, track and field events, the Model Airplane Club, that was one of their favorite locations, auto racing, bird watching, and any other outdoor activity where you might need a field. It was a very, very popular location in Fairbanks.
You know, I still remember being a very, very young child, and twice a week the milkman came from Creamer's Dairy.
Yeah.
And they'd have these glass bottles,
mm-hmm.
and then it'd have the cardboard pop top on the top. you know, and I still remember that. And then once a month, my parents would put in the order of chocolate milk if we were good kids.
Oh.
Ready for a phone call?
Sure.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Morning. It's Al.
Al, I owe you some risotto. Where's my kimchi?
Yeah, I'm waiting for good lettuce or good cabbage.
There you go. What's on your mind, sir?
Did Joe Namath's estate, I know back when he was alive, he talked about he was donating X number of acreage to the Kramer's Field Park. I was wondering, did that ever happen?
I do not know. I do not know, to tell you the truth. I can ask one of the daughters if I see him.
Yeah. Okay. You were just going through how the pieces all came together, and it reminded me that Joe always wanted a certain number of acreage to be attached to that because he had adjoining property.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
You have a great day, buddy. Thank you.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
So, I take it back. The property was purchased in 1969 by the state of Alaska. In 1970, the Kramers sold the buildings and land that the buildings sit on. There's a small parcel of land with that to the Polaris Development Company, which was Wally Burnett, Thomas, I hope I say this right.
Miklosh.
Miklosh, thank you. And Cliff Berglund. And then they eventually... It was turned over to the Friends of Kramer's Field, who has it today.
The Polaris Development Group, guess what building they bought? The Hill Building.
Oh, okay.
And named that the Polaris Building.
So in 1971, the Fish and Game Building was put in. And that was a very contentious build.
Which building was put in?
The Fish and Game.
Okay.
There was a lot of people in the community who felt that the state should put their building someplace else, that was a wildlife refuge and it shouldn't have any new buildings on it.
Hmm.
But cooler heads prevailed. I think it's a apropos location. The big thing about Kramer's Field is location, location, location. It was just the right distance out of town that the average person could easy go and enjoy recreation there.
Mm-hmm.
And today is still very, very popular. And in 1991, KFAR got in it with the Goose Watcher contest, which is still going on today.
Well, we got about a minute and a half left. I want to honor you by cooking you a great lunch and honor Ashley by... Have inviting you to take Perry's spot,
and
I've known you for 20 years, you've still put up with me.
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, when did you work for?
I started in real estate when I was 20. So,
well, you're a very nice.
I'm
23.
Definitely not 40.
You're a very nice.
That's
23.
What you're saying.
I'm not going to say go there. I like my body parts where they're at.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Well, I have to say it's a real honor to eat this meal. When you have Dave make you something, he cooks from his heart. And it's a very special thing.
You know, I hadn't figured out the sandwich until last night.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
I finally got my cooking chi. And I was able to knock it out. Fairbanks, that is our show. Ashley, thank you so much for being here.
Thank
Joni,
you.
Always thank you for the historical. And I'm going to kick your butt next year. You're going to be cooking for me. Fairbanks, I will see you on Friday. We're going to have Will Stapp on the first half. Second half, we're going to have talking about the online auction, its history. And we'll see you on Friday.